I'm going to try to do the impossible this morning. I want to be an angel. Yeah, don't say nothing. But I want to read just a couple of verses that John read a moment ago from the Christmas story as it's found in Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Hey, Dave, I think we need to turn these down just one notch, please. We need them, but not as high as they are. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And let's pray. Father, thank you for this time when we can open your word. I pray now that even though we might have a lot of things on our minds and hearts, that you would just help all of us to put them aside for the next few minutes. Help us to open our hearts and minds and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And again, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, not a better day to receive Christ than today. And so I pray that you'll help them to do that. Just be with everything that goes on for the next few minutes. Thank you for the message we've already heard in song. But I pray now that you would just speak to us in the next few minutes, and we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. The message that the angels brought was a message of good tidings of great joy. I want you to think just for a few seconds right now about some of the good news that you might have heard this year. Perhaps there's somebody in the room that proposed marriage to another person, and this year they said yes to that proposal. That would certainly be good news. Perhaps it was the announcement of a birth of a child. That would be good news. Perhaps it was sitting in the doctor's office and the doctor coming in and sitting down with you and saying, well, the tests were negative. It's not cancer. Everything looks fine. That would be good news. Perhaps you got word that a loved one was coming to visit, somebody you hadn't seen in a long, long time. That would be good news. Maybe it was just your favorite sports team winning. Didn't get much of that with the Tigers, but some of the other teams are doing all right, but that would be good news. And there's other examples that maybe you can think of that you can look back on in the past 12 months and you can say, yep, that was good news to me. That was good tidings, as the Bible calls them. But the angel said, when he delivered his message to the angels, that it's not only good news, but it's good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. I couldn't help as I was getting ready for this morning think of that little chorus we sometimes sing about the good news of the gospel and the joy that goes along with it. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. And we don't know half the joy. Not half the joy, probably a lot less than that, that's waiting for us when we get to be with God, when we get to go to heaven, when we get to go to the eternal reward that's wrapped up in the joy that the angel was talking about when he talked to the shepherds that night. Perhaps you're here this morning and you might be in a position where you need some joy in your life. Maybe the circumstances of life, maybe the pressures of daily living have got to you, and you say, boy, if anybody needs joy this morning, I'm one of those people that need joy. Well, I got some good news for you. The same joy that the angels talked about to the shepherds is the same joy that's available to every single person on December the 19th, 1999. Almost 2,000 years ago, the angels filled the sky and say, hey, I got a message for you, a message of good tidings and great joy. Well, I have a message for you this morning, the same message, the same good news, the same good tidings, and the same great joy is available to us today. Wasn't just a message to the angels 2,000 years ago. Wasn't just to that little group who were watching their sheep on the hills near Bethlehem. It's good tidings of great joy to every single person in this room this morning. And I wish I could be an angel. I mean, I wish that you could get it just like the shepherds did it. Man, when they got it, they saw that bright light in the sky. They saw that one angel. They saw the sky fill. I wish I could deliver it with the same impact that the angels did to the shepherds. I can't do that. But I can tell you, just as truthfully as the angels spoke to the shepherds, just as truthfully, the same joy, good tidings of great joy, is available to every single person in this room this morning. And so if you're here this morning and your life turns upside down, I can tell you how to have joy. If you're here this morning and circumstances are just piling up on top of you and you don't see the light on the top, I can tell you how to have great joy. And I want you to notice, second of all, that it's to all people. I mean, the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be just to the Jews. No, that's not what my Bible says. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to just the rich people. Nope. What the Bible says and what the angel said is, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people. Hey, that includes every single one of you. That word all is so encompassing that there's not a single person in this room this morning that's left out. You're included. I mean, when the angel said back on that Bethlehem Hill so many years ago, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He was talking to, well, I don't know if an angel's in here or not, but the angel was talking to us. I mean, every single one of us. It's just like we were sitting on the hill with the hills with the shepherds. Good tidings of great joy to everybody. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter how much money you got. Doesn't matter how much education you have. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what personality type you are. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. Doesn't matter about your past. Doesn't matter who your parents are. Good tidings of great joy, the angel announced that night, is to all people. There's nobody excluded. Everybody is encompassed in that message. I like the little songs that we sing. At Christmas time, you always different songs come into your head. And I like the songs that we sing that remind us that Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in His sight. He loves every single one of us. So don't think you're excluded this morning. Don't think because of your past or where you live or what kind of circumstances your life is in this morning that you're excluded from this message. It's a message that shall be to all people. That includes you. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every single person. I don't care how old you are, where you live. It doesn't matter. The message that the angels give shall be to all people. Hey, that includes you. It includes you. It includes me. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then what is that good news? How can you have that great joy that the angels was talking about? Here it is. Don't miss it. Here it is. It's a message that's resounded even before that night in Bethlehem. It started resounding in the Garden of Eden. It was in the book of Exodus in the form of the Passover lamb. It was in the book of Leviticus in the form of the high priest. It was in the book of Numbers in the serpent that Moses uplifted. It was in the book of Deuteronomy as God presented the law. It was in the book of Joshua as the one that led the people into the promised land. All throughout the Bible. Here it is. Don't miss it. Here's the message of good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. A Savior is born. Yes, He was the Messiah. Yes, he was the one that the prophets foretold for so many years. Yes, he someday is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that's not important in the context that we're in right now. It's not important that one day he will be the king. It's not important that one day he will be the Messiah. It's not important one day that he will rule and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. That's not important. What's important right now is the name that the angels used. A Savior. You know, when you think of a Savior, you think of somebody that saves you from something. Let's say that I live close to Doris and her house was on fire. And I went in and I pulled Doris out of the fire. I would be her Savior from that fire. You can't have a Savior unless you need something to be saved from. I mean, you got to have something that you have to be saved from to have a Savior. Let's say that that Steve was in the middle of the street and there was a car coming. And I was close to him, and I was able to pull him out of the way before the car hit him. In that case, I would be his Savior from that car accident. In Doris's case, I'd be her Savior from the fire. You can't have a Savior unless you have something that you need to be saved from. And when the angels announced, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, they knew that there was something that we needed to be saved from. And that something that we needed to be saved from was the wrath of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every single one of us is a sinner. Say, oh no, you don't know me, Brother Darrell. I'm not a sinner. Well, if I could sit down and talk to you for just a few seconds, I think I could help you understand that you are. You ever told a lie? I mean, just a little one? Some people might call a little white lie. Have you ever misrepresented the truth? Or have you ever, when you were a child, disobeyed mom or dad? Well, sure, everybody does that. Makes you a sinner. The book of James says if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all. And if we're a liar, or if we're disobedient to our parents, and I won't go down the list of some of the other sins that might be in the room this morning, simply let me say we're all sinners. We're all sinners. That's what the Bible means when it says we've all fallen short. You compare yourself to me, you might think you're pretty good. You compare yourself to Jesus, and you'll see where you fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of that sin is death. Separation from God. Not just physical death. Life. There's a part of you that's going to live forever. And the wages of sin is death, where you are separated from God. In that place called hell. Say, hey, Brother Darrell, I don't think you ought to talk about hell on Christmas. Why not? It's just as real on the Sunday before Christmas as it is on a Sunday in February or on a Sunday in March. Hell is a real place prepared not for us, but prepared for the devil and his angels. And the Bible says that if we're separated from God because of our sin, our eternal destiny is hell. That's what you need to be saved from. Just like Doris needed to be saved from the fire and Steve needed to be saved from the car, every single one of us, because we're sinners, needs to be saved from hell. Somebody has to pay the price for your sin. Somebody has to stand accountable for your sin. That's the Savior the angels were talking about that night so long ago in Bethlehem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Somebody that's going to pay for your sins. Somebody that's going to suffer your hell for you. Somebody that's going to go to God and by His death and by the shedding of His blood is going to take care of all your sins and make you right with God so that you can be saved from hell to heaven. So that you can be saved from eternal punishment to eternal reward. So that you can be saved from being separated from God to being together with God forever and ever and ever. That's the Savior. That's the ones the angels proclaimed 2,000 years ago when they said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. One that would save you from hell. One that would make you right with God. One that would guarantee you a home in heaven. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But let's go back. That's why the angels could start their message by saying, "Fear not. Fear not." So many people live in fear today. So many people are afraid of past. So many people are afraid of what's going on today. So many people are afraid of what's going on tomorrow. And when the angels started out their message to the shepherds, they said, "Fear not." You might read that story and you think, well, they were just talking to the shepherds. I mean, they were out on the hills of Bethlehem and they saw this bright light. They saw this angel in the sky. The only natural thing for the angel to say is, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of us." But it wasn't just that. It was a message to every single one of us that says, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid of what's happened in the past. You don't have to be afraid of how you've messed up your life in the past. You don't have to be afraid of the sins that you've committed in the past. You don't have to be afraid of anything that's happened in all your yesterdays, because the Savior will take care of all that. There's people in this room this morning that are letting their yesterdays affect how they live their life today. And if you were honest with yourself, you would say, "I'm afraid of what happened yesterday." I want to tell you something this morning. You got a Savior who will forgive and forget all your yesterdays. And He says, not only do you not need to be afraid of all your yesterdays, you don't need to be afraid of today. Some of you are hurting this morning. Some of you are facing surgery. Some of you are facing other things in your life that you don't know the answers to. I'm glad that we have a Savior that knows every answer. I'm glad that we have a Savior who never lets a problem come into one of His children. That we have a God that never lets a problem come into one of His children's life without a purpose and without an answer. You don't need to be afraid of today. And praise God, you don't need to be afraid of tomorrow. You say, "Oh, you don't know what I face tomorrow." I know I don't, but God does. And you know what He's got waiting for you tomorrow? Just what you need to face tomorrow. Fear not. Don't be afraid. For unto you, for because I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It was Christmas time. A young father and young mother sat in their doctor's office. They were holding their 6-year-old boy and their 3-year-old daughter because they didn't have anybody that they could leave them with. The doctor had a grave look on his face as he came in and sat down in front of the parents and as they were holding their children. And he said, "I don't know how to tell you this, but your little girl has a blood disease. And unless we can find somebody whose blood matches hers exactly, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that we can do for her. And she won't live longer than 6 months." Of course, Mom and Dad were the first ones to have their blood tested to see if they were a match. The grandparents came, aunts, uncles, friends. Nobody matched. They began to lose hope. The doctor said, "Well, I don't think it'll match, but rather than guess, why don't we test her little brother's, her big brother's blood?" And so it was kind of scary for the 6-year-old, but they took him into the doctor's office and they threw a little prick of blood on his finger and took it to the laboratory. And a few hours later, the test came back and said, "It's a perfect match. Perfect match." So Mom and Dad sat down with their little boy. His name was Billy. Said, "Billy," Jenny, who was their little girl, said, "Billy, your sister, little sister Jenny, needs some blood. And yours is a perfect match." Yours is the only one that would work. Would you be willing to give it to your little sister? And Billy thought for a moment, thought for a moment more, and a big smile came on his face and he said, "If I can help my little sister Jenny, she can have it." So just a few hours, because they couldn't waste any time, they wheeled them both into a room, hooked up a needle to Jenny's arm, hooked up a needle to Billy's arm, and they began the process of circulating the blood through both their bodies. After about 15 minutes, Billy called his dad over to where he was laying on the bed. He said, "Daddy, when am I going to die?" And his dad said, "Oh, Billy, you're not going to die. Did you think you were going to die because you were sharing your blood with your little sister? You're not going to die." Jesus had to die for us. It's the only way he could be our Savior. Took all his blood to cleanse us from our sins. If you're here this morning and you've never, ever asked Jesus to be your Savior, I can't think of a better day than the Sunday before Christmas to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful message that the angels gave to the shepherds and also to us. This morning I pray, if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray this morning that you'd help them see that they're a sinner. Help them see that there's a price for that sin, but that when Christ went to the cross, he paid that price.